There's a great drinking song from the 1950s recorded by George Thorogood and others. It's called One Bourbon, One Scotch, One Beer. It's about a guy who, for too many reasons to mention, feels in desperate need of a few. A few reasons, though, that song doesn't fit in today's world. For one, scotch and bourbon are no longer known as cheap fixes. They're highly respected and growing in popularity. Sales of scotch, bourbons, and rye whiskeys are booming in the U.S. and around the globe. And the image of the person drinking it, not necessarily a guy. Many whiskey drinkers are women. NPR's Allison Aubrey reports on the latest chapter in the history of what's been called the water of life.
Whiskey has long been considered a man's drink. And to get a sense of what that means, I slipped out of the office early one night and ducked into the bar at the Willard Hotel, which is a stone's throw from the White House. This place has dark mahogany panels lined with old portraits of statesmen. It's drenched in history. And tonight, it's packed.
Allison, very nice to see you again.
That's bartender Jim Hughes. He's the unofficial historian here. He says back in the day, this was, of course, a gentleman's parlor.
Now, it's not that women weren't allowed in here. It's just that a lady wouldn't be seen in a gentleman's parlor where men are drinking whiskey and smoking cigars and talking politics.
Whiskey historian Fred Minnick says from the founding fathers onwards, whiskey has always been a part of power broking.
I mean, if you look at the great Kentucky statesman Henry Clay, he said he used bourbon to, quote, lubricate the wheels of justice. And even more recently, take a look at what we're seeing with the, quote, bourbon summit between President Obama and Senator McConnell.
Now, it's not news that women have joined the ranks of power. There are plenty of ladies here at the Willard tonight. But it's taken women much longer to join in the whiskey drinking.
There's a lot of intimidation when it comes to whiskey. There's a lot of mystery, I think.
That's whiskey expert Heather Green. She's the person I actually came here to see tonight. She heads up a whiskey school, and she packs the house, teaching newbies, including lots of women, how to order whiskey, taste it, talk about it. She says women have a lot of hang-ups about whiskey.
Is it okay to drink whiskey at a bar? Is it feminine? Am I going to look assertive? Am I going to look aggressive? These are questions women are actually asking themselves when they drink whiskey.
And there's something else about whiskey. The combination of whiskey and women in bars used to signal a very different kind of power. Think brothels and prostitution. Even decades after Prohibition, laws in many states restricted women from serving liquor behind the bar. But as these cultural throwbacks fade away, more women are giving whiskey a try. Tonight, I sat down with five women.
I want to start you all off on a single malt scotch.
Green tells us to nose the whiskey. Give it a good whiff.
Try to just get the beautiful perfumes coming off the rim of the glass.
Now we're told to swirl it around. Give it a good taste.
Don't be shy. I see somebody not doing it. Come on.
This particular scotch, Green tells us, has been barrel-aged in a cask for 12 years.
Giving it beautiful flavors of, you know, nuts and spice, so we're going to start looking for notes of that as we start exploring our whiskeys.
Taster Lauren Brown, who's never tried whiskey before, soon gets the hang of it.
Vanilla, wood tones. You know, once you learn the lingo, it's kind of like wine tasting.
Do you think you might be confident to sidle up to the bar and order a whiskey?
I think so, yes. Now, definitely.
Fred Minnick, who has published a recent book on whiskey and women, says more and more women are making it their drink.
Women are absolutely the future of whiskey.
He says 20 years ago, women made up maybe 15% of whiskey drinkers. Today, that number is close to 40%.
You know, it's amazing how women are taking to the spirit. It really is.
But is it really so amazing? As Fred Minnick points out in his book, if you go back, way back, we're talking to the 3rd century, it's a female chemist who is credited with designing a prototype of the first still. That's the piece of equipment used to make distilled spirits. And before industrial distilleries, who was making most of the whiskey in the U.S.?
In the early colonial days, women were the first distillers.
Back then, it was out of necessity. Women distilled in their kitchens, and whiskey was also used as a medicine. So if you had a scratch or a sore eye, you'd put whiskey on it.
If you had a headache, women would give you whiskey. I mean, whiskey was the Tylenol, the ibuprofen of the day.
Minnick says the skill of making whiskey was so coveted that men in the late 1700s took out classified ads in Virginia gazettes looking for women who were good at it.
It's hilarious. It's you know, it was Match.com. Men would put ads in newspapers requesting women who could make alcohol, and they would ask them to marry them based on the premise that they could distill at home.
When you stumbled upon this fact, did you think, whoa?
Well, whiskey's always had power in men's lives, but when I stumbled upon the fact that men were actually seeking women who could make whiskey at home, that's when I knew that women were far more important to the history of whiskey than we ever even imagined.
And now it seems history is coming full circle. Hear that gurgling? That's the sound from Becky Harris's distillery.
Well, this morning we're in the middle of making whiskey.
Becky is the co-founder of a thriving craft distillery in Virginia called Catoctin Creek. She trained as a chemical engineer, and now she's among the vanguard of female distillers.
There are a lot of women getting back into the business.
And as she's about to show us, it's not for the faint of heart. That gurgling we hear, that's hundreds of pounds of rye grain and water that's cooking away in a giant mash tank.
It's almost like a big crock pot with a cooling jacket around it.
I climb up on a ladder, and she opens the top for me to peek in.
If you lean over, you can see it's bubbling.
Oh, whoa. So just spinning around in here, gurgling.
And so it looks like a batter, really.
From here, the mash will be pumped into big fermenting tanks.
Usually takes us about 5 minutes to pump out.
I guess you have to be strong to do this job.
You get used
to
it.
All the muscles to open up this fermenting tank.
Yes, it is physical work.
The next step is to distill the fermented mash in a huge copper still, which looks like something out of the Middle Ages.
Can I give it a taste?
Yeah, absolutely.
Ah.
Pretty strong.
That's whiskey.
Yes, it's just got some really nice flavor, and I think it's going to be a gorgeous whiskey.
And if this whiskey is aged in a cask for the next 10 years, by the time the bottle's opened in 2024, it's likely many more women will have rediscovered whiskey. Allison Aubrey, NPR News.